Thank you, Ron, for blessing us with this special ministry or this special gift of music. And thank you, Pastor Gustavo, for your fine introduction. I bring you a greetings from Patty, my wife, who's back at what is now our home in just outside of Richmond, Virginia. A little bit warmer than here, cold enough for us after being overseas in the Middle East and Africa for the past, 40 years. But you know, you folks have been with us on this journey for about half of that time. It was 1993 that I first came to visit you, and have come back a few times since, and some of you have greeted me as you came in, remembering past visits and so forth. It's good to be with you again. Now it's time to move into a new chapter, and so it's good to be with you one last time before we enter this retirement phase. I've been traveling around various of our supporting churches. This is number 20. I'm supposed to do 23, but the last three have not worked it out, so it looks like this might be the last one. So and then retirement comes the end of this month. As we come to God's Word, let us look to Him, the author of His Word. Heavenly Father, we do come to You in spirit and in truth, and we thank You that we can enter this place of worship to rest for a moment on the journey of life that You have laid out before each of us. May we find encouragement as we recognize Your faithfulness in the past, and may we find strength as we perceive the challenges ahead. We pray in the name of our precious Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our scripture reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews, that famous chapter 11, which highlights the heroes of faith from the Old Testament. We're picking up in verse 8 to see a segment on the faith of Abraham, but it's also Abraham and Sarah. I'm reading from the updated 2011 version of the New International Version, because in verse 11, they made a slight change to highlight how Sarah is also part of this. It's an interpretive decision, whether it's in the footnote or in the text. So let me read then from verses 8 to 16. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land, like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children, because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had an opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. We often characterize life as a journey. After all, just like a journey, an individual life has a beginning and an end, and in between those two points, we travel through time, experiencing various ups and downs, twists and turns along the way. Sometimes we find smooth sailing. Other times we find formidable obstacles. Well, as Christians, we know that part of this life journey is a spiritual journey in which we look to our Lord and grow as disciples of Christ, trusting in his guidance while we navigate these various uncertainties along the way. Our dependence on God becomes especially important in major transitions in life, like when we experience a big change in our employment or our health or the death of a family member or the birth of a new family member. These are times when it's especially important to remember afresh that God walks with us each step of the way along this journey of life. God provides support for us, sometimes through family connections, sometimes through the advice and counsel of good friends, perhaps a special passage of scripture that has meant a lot to us, or even a miraculous event that just happens to fall into place. Well, as you've already heard, Patty and I are experiencing one of these major transitions. We've recently concluded 40 years of RCA ministry as missionaries in the Middle East and East Africa. And I'm going to show some pictures about that a little bit in just a few minutes. We returned to the U.S. last August in order to begin the process of entering a new phase of life. Well, they call it retirement. I'm not sure. In many ways, it's just a new chapter of ministry. But it's largely unknown to us. We don't know what kind of activities we'll get involved in or what kind of challenges we might still face. So as we look ahead into this unknown, we find it really helpful to look back and see how God has been faithful to us in our journey thus far. Now, Abraham and Sarah also experienced a journey of life that was both physical and spiritual. They had been called by God to leave their home country and to travel to a new territory that God would eventually give to their descendants. However, they themselves never took possession of that land. Instead, they wandered around like nomads for their entire lives. In fact, according to the letter of Hebrews, Abraham and Sarah were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And so we see that this life journey for Abraham and Sarah was also a spiritual journey. It ran concurrent to their physical journey. And we might ask, okay, well, how did these journeys change them? What kind of outlook did God expect of them as they encountered the major turning points in their lives? Well, I think we can learn a very important lesson from their example. And And it's a lesson that Patty and I have had to learn in our own missionary journey. The lesson is this: we must develop flexibility. Yeah, being ready to change course as you move along, while trusting that God knows what he's doing. Flexibility means allowing God to navigate the uncertainties of your life and resisting that natural urge to just follow our own agenda. Abraham and Sarah experienced numerous twists and turns in their life journey, and sometimes they had to learn flexibility the hard way. For example, they had been promised by God to have their own son, who would in turn become the ancestor of a great nation. But as the years wore on and they were getting very old, God seemed to be taking his time regarding that promise. So on one occasion, they decided to, you know, help God out when Abraham fathered Ishmael through Sarah's slave Hagar. That didn't work out very well. Instead, God pulled off quite a miracle when Sarah gave birth to Isaac, and they were so old. Sarah was 90, Abraham 100. Well, we read also that on a later occasion, God told Abraham to offer Isaac as a sacrifice. And yeah, Abraham started to obey, even though this command made absolutely no sense. How could God continue his promise with Isaac dead? But again, God intervened and turned things around. So over time, Abraham and Sarah learned to trust God, to recognize that God does know what he's doing, and it was better to let God have his way. They learned to be flexible and adapt to God's agenda. And they found every time that God remained faithful. In our own 40-year missionary journey, Patty and I have had to learn this same kind of flexibility. One occasion especially stands out. It's near the end of our first mission assignment in the country of Oman. That's on the eastern edge of the Arabian Peninsula, and you'll see it on a map in the pictures in just a few minutes. We were very glad for our 5 years of ministry there, but I was beginning to feel that, yeah, it was time to move on. I especially sensed a call into a teaching ministry where I would teach the Bible for local pastors in training. And so we were looking for another opportunity. And one day we got a letter from a missionary colleague in Egypt who told us about the seminary there in Cairo, this Protestant seminary that was looking for some missionary help to teach the Bible. And I had the experience and qualifications that they need. And so we said, sure, we'll consider this. And he talked with them. They invited us to come. We had very good discussions for a couple of days. And we came away feeling for sure this is God's call to a new and significant ministry. And we went back to Oman, started to get ready for our transition, pack up a few things, and just waiting for that final confirmation from the seminary in Cairo. And we waited and waited some more, and nothing ever came. Until finally our missionary colleague wrote to us and he said, "Oh, sorry, but I just heard the seminary decided to put a moratorium on getting missionaries to help them. They want instead to try to get their own Egyptian faculty to teach all their courses." Fair enough, but it left us devastated. How could we have misinterpreted God's call? like that? Well, a couple weeks later, our U.S. mission supervisor came to visit us in Oman. And after patiently listening to our sad story, he told us, "You know, just recently I received a request from the country of Sudan, just south of Egypt, a very similar opportunity for teaching in a Bible school for pastors who are training to be pastors in their churches." And we said, okay. We accepted their invitation instead. And we moved to Sudan, and that started a whole new opportunity that led Patty and I into new experiences that have been with us the rest of our careers. There were many other occasions, for sure, when we had to learn to be flexible. When communications just didn't work out, when visas got delayed, when we got there and there wasn't any housing for us and we had to make do as best we could for a while. You know, we look back and we see again how every step of the way God worked it out. God was so faithful. This journey of life, yeah, it can be challenging. But God knows that it's not easy for us to navigate all these uncertainties that we face. God wants to be our guide, but he also wants us to learn how to trust him as our Heavenly Father. Friends, sometimes you just have to give up trying to figure out the situation on your own or to steer it in the direction that you think it should go. There are times when we simply must let go and let God. And you know, as you learn to go with God's agenda rather than your own, you will see how God can work things out in ways that you never imagined before. But now, let me share a bit more in pictures about how God has been faithful to us through all the twists and turns that we've experienced in our 40-year missionary journey. So, we have 9 minutes to cover 40 years. Can you believe it? Okay. In order to do that, I use a script so that Tricia can change the pictures as we go along. So here we are, God's faithfulness. And you see, in our 40 years as missionaries of the Reformed Church in America, Patty and I have lived and served in 6 different countries in the Middle East and East Africa. In chronological order, Jordan, Oman, Sudan, Ethiopia, Kenya, and finally the small country of Lebanon. After being commissioned by the RCA in 1982, our first stop was Birmingham, England, where we attended a 3-month mission orientation program. At first, we thought that this was a strange location for such training, but we soon learned to appreciate the importance of recognizing subtle cultural differences, even among English-speaking countries. Our next stop was the country of Jordan, where we immersed ourselves in a special program for missionaries to study the Arabic language and culture. Morning classes incorporated speaking, reading, and writing the challenging language of Arabic. And during the afternoon, we would often go out visiting neighbors and local shopkeepers to practice speaking. This was often a humbling experience, being willing to make mistakes and to learn from them. Our first mission assignment was the country of Oman, on the far eastern side of the Arabian Peninsula. It's an Arab country that is almost completely Muslim. RCA has had a mission presence in Oman for over a century, and today it's positive reputation has allowed the Protestant church in Oman to thrive, meeting the worship needs of thousands of foreign workers in the country. We entered Oman under the umbrella of this church, and my role was to carry on a visitation ministry among our neighbors and shopkeepers in the nearby traditional marketplace. Sometimes I was able to share stories from the Arabic Bible with men who were receptive, such as this former leper. Patty was asked to help out with the Sunday school, and since she had no experience with that, she had to learn on the job. Well, after 5 years in Oman, I was sensing a call to teach the Bible in an Arab context. And as I shared in my sermon, we heard of an opportunity in Egypt, but were saddened when God closed that door. Instead, he opened a new door through an invitation to Sudan, a country that was completely off our radar. It's a mostly Muslim country in East Africa, but one that incorporates the Arab culture and language. Our 10 years in Sudan were divided between periods of teaching in two different schools, separated by a 3-year study leave in the U.S. Most of our Sudan years were spent at Nile Theological College, a bachelor-level seminary program which prepared students, Christian leaders, to become pastors and evangelists. I taught various Bible courses, but I also taught courses about Islam, since I realized that the students needed help to better understand their Muslim majority context and how to share their faith with Muslims in a loving manner. Patty was also involved with this school, teaching practical subjects about how to live out our Christian faith. The college also asked me to serve as academic dean, but soon I was able to turn this over to competent Sudanese colleagues. And after 8 years there, we were beginning to sense that our fellow Sudanese faculty would be able to continue this ministry without us. That's when a fresh invitation came, unexpectedly, from the neighboring country of Ethiopia. Most people there adhere to some form of Christianity, while about 40% are Muslims. In the capital city, Addis Ababa, the Mekane Yesu Seminary asked the RCA to send us there so that I could establish and teach in a new bachelor-level program in Christian-Muslim relations, which would prepare evangelists to share the gospel with Muslims in a faithful yet respectful manner. During this period, Patty utilized her talents in different ways, offering basic medical care at the seminary in the earlier years and volunteering at a local orphanage later on. We also had a ministry among the children at another orphanage nearby, offering Bible stories, songs, and craft activities. I worked closely with Ethiopian colleagues, and after 7 years there, I was able to turn over the Christian-Muslim relations program completely to them. They have since developed it by starting a specialized master's program at the seminary. Well, this allowed us to respond to yet another invitation, this time in Kenya. The Muslim population in this country is only 10%, but a Christian institution called St. Paul's University had already started a master's program in Christian-Muslim relations to train church leaders from all over Africa. They asked me to fill in for a short time until their own Kenyan professors could take over. In addition to teaching classes, I also guided each student as they wrote a master's thesis about how to apply what they learned to their own specific context. Meanwhile, Patty was asked to coordinate a diploma in theology program that was being taught in several Bible schools across Kenya, but it was supervised by the university. So she sometimes met with the principals from each school in order to agree on a common and beneficial curriculum. In 2012, St. Paul's University had their own Kenyan professors to take my place, and we wondered where we should go next. But a seminary in Lebanon heard about my experience and asked me to fill a vacant position in the field of Islamic studies. Lebanon is a small country where Muslims and Christians are roughly equal in number. There, the Near East School of Theology provides training for Arab pastors serving in the Middle East. I again taught important courses on Islam and Christian-Muslim relations. But in Lebanon, it was much easier to invite Muslim scholars and clerics to my class so that they could share their perspective on their own faith. Patty also taught some courses in Bible survey, but her main contribution was in the seminary library, assisting the staff in its normal activities and helping out with special projects. Since we lived at the seminary, which was housed in a single large building, we were able to join with students for activities in the cafeteria, the chapel, or the student lounge. But our ministry in Lebanon came to an end on graduation day last June, and we are now retiring from 40 years of RCA Overseas Mission Service. We've had many twists and turns on our journey, and we've had to learn to be flexible. But we can easily apply an adaptation of Deuteronomy 2:7 to ourselves. The Lord our God has blessed us in all the work of our hands. He has watched over our journey through the Middle East and Africa. These 40 years, the Lord our God has been with us, and we have not lacked anything. And you folks have been a major part of this journey, of God's work in and through us, and we can never thank you enough for your ongoing prayers and support for us and for our family and for our ministry through the years. Now, one thing that we'd like to do is to leave you with a little reminder of our appreciation for your support all these years. I brought here a piece of wood from Lebanon. Now, maybe you might know what Lebanon is famous for in the Bible. We saw it referred to in the psalm we recited earlier, cedar wood. This is a piece of cedar wood. There were lots of cedars back in the biblical times. You know, Solomon built the temple and palace out of cedars that were given from Lebanon. Now there aren't so many, but sometimes dead branches fall off, or even a tree may die, and they make these special plaques. And so we got an artist friend to make something special here. It's a verse from 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 2. We always thank God for you, Peter and Patty Ford. And it has a picture of a cedar tree, the country of Lebanon, with the colors of the flag. You can find a place to hang it someplace as a reminder. And I'll just leave it up here for you to get later. Let's close with a word of prayer then. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. And we thank you that you love us so much that you have provided for our every need, beginning with our precious salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you for walking ahead of us, for walking beside us, and help us to realize your presence when problems seem to overwhelm us. Give us strength to be flexible about your ways, and may we reach that point of praising you for your wonderful guidance along the way. In the name of Christ, amen.